then it might be time to take a break. Because knowing your limits is an important part of becoming a better player and a better you. Learn more at sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
For a true Tiger, every day is game day. And the Tiger Sports Shop has the gear to prove it. From Nike sideline apparel to exclusive Lululemon and Clemson polos, tees, and hats, we've got what you need to rep your Tigers in style. Plus, by joining our Tiger Rewards loyalty program, you'll earn points and unlock exclusive perks throughout the season. Shop local at our two Clemson locations or online anytime at tigersports.com. The Tiger Sports Shop, your Clemson headquarters, everything Clemson for the Clemson fan.
Go Tigers!
When reliability matters, trust American Doormasters to keep your business running smoothly. Is your garage door opener broken? We specialize in diagnosing and fixing issues quickly and professionally, all at a great price. From broken springs to complete installations, our expert team has the upstate of South Carolina covered. Don't let a faulty door disrupt your operations. Call today 864-990-3075. American Doormasters for all your garage door needs and experience top-notch service.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
At B&D Family Jewelers, value and trust come first. Make this Christmas sparkle with fine jewelry for the holidays, weddings, or any occasion. Explore on-site repairs and looking to sell? We buy gold, silver, platinum, old jewelry, and sterling flatware for someone special or treat yourself. Visit B&D Family Jewelers, 1600 John B. White Boulevard in Spartanburg, or check us out at bndfamilyjewelers.com. B&D Family Jewelers can help make your special occasion memorable.
Carbon monoxide is called the silent killer for a reason. You can't see it, smell it, or taste it. But a faulty gas furnace can leak it into your home. That's why a gas furnace inspection from Blue Ridge Heating and Air really matters. As an Armstrong Air preferred dealer, their certified technicians check for hidden dangers like cracked heat exchangers and blocked vents before they turn serious. For year-round peace of mind and efficiency, choose Blue Ridge Heating and Air's comfort maintenance plan. Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Engineered comfort solutions.
Hey, if you're looking for safe takes, you're on the wrong station.
Not up in here!
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
I think this is my wife's favorite song of all time.
That's a good one.
I think it's her favorite song. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to join us. 654-7627 if you'd like to join us on the phones or on the Adams McCormick text line. For our final hour of the show, Bill in Princeton joins us next. What's up, Bill? Thanks for your patience.
Well, thank you for having me. I haven't talked to you in quite a while, but listening out driving today and listening to your show, I wanted to chime in with a couple of things. First off, about the basketball team and what a marvelous, marvelous job that Brownell has done this year in basically building an entire team. What we had one guy back from last year that was a contributor, and he has brought in three bigs that on any given day, any one of those three guys can be outstanding. Great guard play. Last year's team won 18 games, I think was an all-time record for Clemson in ACC play. And right now, after a lot of the games are tough games and are very gritty, as Brad likes to use the word gritty about his teams. But two road wins over the last week or so, and then looking at the schedule down the road, I think there's really a legitimate chance that he could repeat this year, that we could go maybe 10-6 down the road in the rest of our games and finish up for second year in a row with 18 wins in the ACC. So I'm really excited about what he's done.
Bill, this team's going to do better than 10-6, but I agree with you.
Well, yeah, I worry real bad about SMU. That's a potential toss-up game.
That's also a 9 p.m. Like, that could be – the crowd could be a factor. Like, yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
You're right. Yeah, that's – SMU's is a formidable opponent for sure.
We'll see what they did to North Carolina. So, and we got them at home instead of – for them, that I think North Carolina was a home game for them, but – and that makes a big difference. But they are a really good team. And so that scares me. And, you know, we got – unfortunately, we have to go on the road for North Carolina Duke, so that's going to be tough ones. But being, I think, conservative on it, I think there's a potential of at least 10 wins out there if we don't fool around and mess up some more.
I agree with you on that, Bill. Let me just say one more thing, and I'll get your football take there. I think getting two road wins under your belt this early sets you up for so much success down the road. In fact, I went and looked at it. The Big East has played like four games. There's a couple Big East teams, and I think a couple Big Ten teams that have multiple road wins. Clemson's one of only two 2-0 ACC teams, period. It's Duke and Clemson, and Clemson's the only one with multiple road wins already. It's just so big, because Clemson does it all the time. I think people don't appreciate it enough. This team is 11-1 the last 2 years in conference road games. It's remarkable. They've only got 7 road games left. They're going to be favored in half of those. You've got that West Coast swing, which was difficult on Notre Dame and Louisville this weekend to go 2-0 in those. They won the first and lost that second leg. But you look, the schedule is very manageable moving forward, particularly if you give Clemson a hefty X and O edge, which I think they've deserved.
Well, yeah, Brad has been there for a long time, and I have not been the biggest Brad Brunell fan over the years. There's been a lot of times when I was pretty much sold out on him. But the job that he's done in the last 3 years has blown me away. And this was almost a complete rebuild of a team. He's brought in so many guys, and they've a lot of guys with a lot of experience, and they've melded together. And you know, I've been really excited about the way that they performed this year. And all of the losses were against excellent teams, and they were all close games. So that's something to think about when we start putting together our idea of what might go down with the football team this year. If Dabo can repeat the kind of things that Brad has done, and I know that they talk to each other now and then, wow, we got a potential of putting things together real well. Somebody was talking earlier about the wide receivers and maybe a little fearful that we might lose more in Wesco, but I think those guys have seen in practice all through the fall last year and in the summer practice, they've seen the potential that we have in the quarterbacks that we've got in the room. And I know that it was against Furman, and people don't want to get their expectations too high on Chris Denson. But there's a quarterback competition that's going to be going on, and we don't need to just automatically decide. I mean, we're not coaches. We don't have a right to decide who's going to be the starter next year. It might not be Vizina. It might be Denson. The way that he performed against Furman in that one opportunity that he had, rushing for the yardage that he ran for, the big play, the decision-making that he had, and completing all of his passes, a touchdown on the ground, I believe, running, and also a touchdown pass. I think it was 4-for-4 in the game. To me, I saw a little bit of Deshaun Watson in him. Just a little bit of that. And with Chad coming in, and perhaps Chad can bring out that in him, But I know that, to me, the confidence that the wide receivers that we have on the team in not entering the portal, and they know what's going on better than any of us do. So they must have some kind of confidence in where they are and what kind of passer that they're going to have throwing the ball to them.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Bill. I'm going to try to get a couple people in there. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Yeah, very much.
All right, thank you, sir. I agree with that now. Now, some of that is like sometimes the money's green enough. I feel confident in saying this. Based on the returns that I've gotten, that Christopher Vezina is not going to be crowned the starting quarterback, but he is going to be ahead when we head into spring. This is going to be a legitimate competition. Dabo's talked about that Tate Reynolds and Brock Bradley are coming in to compete. Reynolds coming off a knee injury, so it remains to be seen what all he can do with that. And if he's a little behind there as a true freshman, you would think it's a real uphill slog for him to get the job. But, it, you know, Vezina and Denson, I think Vezina and Denson are well-liked in the locker room. I didn't get the sense that Vezina, you know, that people were upset with Vezina when he was the quarterback against SMU. I've said this. I think there are things that Christopher Vezina did better than Cade Klubnik when we saw him in action against against SMU. I thought he delivered the football in the RPO game with greater conviction. I thought he was a little more decisive in terms of the run game, you know, in his body language at the line of scrimmage. I thought he threw some really good deep balls. He was consistent on those, particularly in the second half. It was not a dreadful showing. It just wasn't the kind of upgrade that led to 14 additional points, which is what you would have needed to get a win. That's not all his fault. But I do think that, like, it's not like Christopher Vezina can't play and also is an a-hole and no one likes him. I think the players on offense are happy that Christopher Vezina gets a chance to be the starter, and I think they're happy for Chris Denson. And I really think that happiness goes as far as they can adequately get them the football.
Yeah, they also like DJ.
Yeah, they did. They really did like DJ, and they played hard for DJ. That's true.
Would you rather have a quarterback or a friend? I'm going quarterback right now.
I think if you give me $1 million and tell me my friend's playing quarterback, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, yes, I think you want to – like if I'm trying to play in the league, I need somebody to deliver the ball to me. And also somebody to scheme me open, which, again, that's something you don't have to worry about with Chad Morris if you're T.J. Moore and Bryant Wesco. Let's go to Wren, who's up with us next. What's up, Wren?
Paul, man, what's going on?
Oh, good, man. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, man. Hey, just a couple of thoughts. I honestly think this year, like, we won't know our starting quarterback until spring.
Say that again? You trailed off on me there just for a second.
We won't know our starting quarterback until the spring game.
I would agree. I mean, I'm not even sure we're going to know it in the spring, to be honest.
I disagree, guys. And I mean, I hope you're right in a way. But when's the last time you felt like there was a true open quarterback competition on Clemson's campus?
A true open quarterback competition?
Your silence is deafening.
A true open quarterback competition. Tommy West?
You might be right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't – like, I think – remember in 14, okay? And, Ren, this is a great question now because I agree with Ben to this point. In 2014, they made the quarterbacks live in spring. Remember that?
That's true.
And it was – I think that was particularly designed to see what Deshaun Watson could do. So that, I think you could say that's maybe a faithful quarterback competition, potentially.
I would say 2014. I would agree with that.
And even in 18, like Kelly Bryant was coming off a Final Four. I don't think Trevor Lawrence could have unseated Kelly Bryant as an incumbent sitting starting quarterback. Colstadt was not an incumbent when Deshaun Watson came in, so there's that. So I think that's true. But in this instance, there is no incumbent, so maybe it's a little more like that, and there's a one-year gap. It's not like you've got a fourth-year guy and a first-year guy like you have with Bryant and like you have with Stout.
Yeah, And between the two, Vezina and Denson, Vezina's been there longer than Denson, correct?
Correct. Vezina's in year three. Denson is in year two.
It'll be year two, yeah.
So I guess technically Vezina will be going into year four, right? Is that right? Do I have that right? Maybe not.
Yeah.
I have to look at this.
The reason I say that about the whole spring game thing is because I just don't think we've seen enough sample size from either quarterback to know, okay, this guy's going to be our QB1 next year.
Right. And that's sort of goes to Ben's point that we both agree on, which is simply this, that having somebody with a track record of playing college football at least involved in the competition would give more credibility to whatever result. The fact that Clemson is not involving anyone with a full track record of collegiate football competition is going to lead to skepticism with whatever happens as a result.
Yeah. And then my last thought real quick, do you think Chad Morris will be able to bring back an identity for Clemson?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I said that. Look, Clemson's got an identity. Appreciate the phone call, Ren. Clemson had an identity last year. It was abandon the run, tough scoring in the red zone, sometimes tough getting to the red zone at times, a little bit of fleeting, like we'll hang on to run this game and then we'll abandon it next game, whatever. Inconsistent quarterback play, drop balls. Inconsistent O-line play. That was the identity of Clemson football.
And just quickly, let me just tell you why I said what I said about the open quarterback competition. This is why I'm skeptical of that. Because if I believe the things that I've been told, that Sweeney is not going to take a quarterback because of his loyalty to Christopher Vezina, then why would I think he's going to open up the room to challenge Christopher Vezina in a true competition way, competitive way? I just don't.
That's a great point. He is, by the way, Vezina's going into his fourth year on campus. So he has 2 years on Denson of development. And we know for Dabo, the more time you have on a guy, the more that guy has to come from behind to beat you. Let's go to Ricky, who's up with us next before we hit our next break. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing great, good, man. Thanks for getting in. Thank you.
Love the discussion. I got a question, and I don't know if I can make it make sense, but I'll try. Given what we know about how Cade's career went, and given what little we know about Vezina, I'd love to hear what both of you would say to this. If you could go back 3 years and go with a Vezina these last 3 years that you know nothing about, or Cade, where you know exactly how it all played out, which would you choose?
Oh, man.
There's no right or wrong answer, but I have an opinion, and I'd love to hear yours.
That's a great – Ricky, I appreciate the phone call. That is a great question. You know what you're doing every time? You're choosing Vezina. Because, and I've said this many times, this is a strongly held belief. This is a foundational premise of my philosophy of college athletics. And in fact, it's a foundational premise of my philosophy in pro athletics too, that the idea of a guy is always better than another guy. The idea of a player is always better than the reality of a player. And the more time you get with a player, the more of his flaws are exposed and the more of that you focus on. You're only looking at upside with the idea of a player. So you're always going to prefer Christopher Vezina because we don't know how it's going to go versus not winning the ACC twice with Cade Klubnik. Also, as a texter pointed out, and Ben, I know you'll appreciate this more than anybody, Christopher Vezina is absolutely nails in College Football 26. Like, way better than Cade. Way better. Like, unstoppable offensive player in the video game like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, my God.
So, I mean, that guy said he won the Heisman every year. Look, I've played with both quarterbacks, and Vezina's far and away a better player in the video game.
So some geek programming on a computer program, in California programs him better, and that's okay. Well, there we are, folks.
He took my offseason very seriously.
Dabo Sweeney, Chad Morris, none of this other matters. Just refer to the video game.
You're two of the dynasty. Matthew, hang on. We're coming to you next. Hour three continues after this.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Don't let your basement become a wet and moldy nightmare. It's a valuable space in your home and it should be treated that way. We understand that a dry basement is a healthy basement. Our experts have the technology to keep your basement dry and mold free. All of our services come with a transferable warranty and the financing is available. Call Canty today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
If you had surgery and are struggling with recovery, check out Ortho Laser Spartanburg. They use advanced MLS laser therapy to help reduce post-surgery pain, minimize swelling, and speed up healing. Ortho Laser is non-invasive, drug-free, and proven to support a smoother, more comfortable recovery. Whether it's joint replacement, orthopedic surgery, or a sports injury repair, take control of your recovery with Ortho Laser. Call today for your free consultation, 864-327-8001.
When you shop for the holidays with AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, you're supporting real folks who care about what ends up on your plate. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market brings together the best of the Carolinas with a farm-to-table spirit, offering fresh, restaurant-quality cuts you'll feel proud to serve. Around here, good food starts with good people. Raised right, prepared right, and shared with love. Good food, good neighbors, great holidays. AMPM Farms Butchery and Market, your local farm-to-table butcher.
Hey Tiger fans, did you know up to 60% of the air in your home comes from your crawl space or basement? If moisture, musty odors, or wood rot are hiding under your house, it can be harming your home and your health. Crawl Space Medic, locally owned and staffed by Clemson alumni, offers honest, certified evaluations with no pressure and no upselling. Protect your home from the ground up. Schedule your free inspection today. Call the pros at Crawl Space Medic.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Wow, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including VA benefits.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
We don't whisper opinions. We deliver them at full volume.
They do not know how to whisper.
105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high?
All you Oasis fans, stay tuned. I'll play their other song at some point. And we'll have the whole collection. Both of them.
Their other song. Oh man. What a great day. What a great day to hear Oasis on the show. We don't get enough of that.
I'm not scared of you people.
God. Oh, man. This hour of the program is brought to you by friends at Underdog. I'm going to be playing. I've got an NBA 50% boost in my inbox right now that I'm happy to use tonight with a full slate of NBA action. There's also college hoops action. There's also, we don't give them enough credit. There's NHL action tonight. There's like six NHL games tonight. One, two, three, four, five NHL games tonight. And tons of NFL playoff action, and the best place to play is Underdog. You can pick higher or lower for your favorite players on their favorite stats, like touchdowns, passing yards, longest reception, that kind of stuff. And listen, if you're good, you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I've had a great run on Underdog, had a great close to bowl season on Underdog. Very excited to continue to play. What are you waiting for? Download the app today and use promo code OOB to score $75 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit ncpgambling.org.
Text of the day. The scene is Dabo's Wonderwall. See, you just made Oasis relevant right there, Texture. Well done. That's funny.
Oh, that is funny. Hey, Hank points out that his Canes and your Canes, Ben Milstead, are atop the division.
Our Canes, that's
man,
right.
Man, that's great. That's great. I'm glad to see that for you guys. Let's go to Matthew's up with us next. What's up, Matthew?
Hey, Mr. Qualt, Mr. Ben, what's up, guys?
We're doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Okay, I have been on the boards reading those past couple days about our offensive coordinator hire. Familiar face, Mr. Morris. I have a take on it, if you'd let me explain why I think it's a good thing.
Sure.
Okay, if you look back at when we started to peak, when we had Taj Boyd set the foundation, you know, that team was a Chad Morris's team, okay, from 2011 to 14. But that team had talent that was coming in and talent that was on the field that got coached up. I don't see why people don't see how it could be done again. And secondly, we got to give Chad at least, and Dabo at least, 2 years to be able to do something. That's when I would be open to hearing the conversations about maybe a change. But until we give these guys at least 2 years, maybe even three, to get, you know. And I'll take y'all's take off the air, and I hope they do well. I pray for Dabo all the time because I know he has a lot on his plate and a lot of haters these days. So God bless you guys. You have a good day.
Thanks very much, Matthew. Appreciate the phone call. I don't think they have that much time. I don't think anybody has that much time anymore. I think in particular, when you look at the last 5 years at Clemson, there's just been a noticeable dip, even in the better years. Again, the question that people are asking, and you can frame it differently, but this is a question that's being asked, and so I will just ask it openly here, is when's the last time Clemson was good enough to win a playoff game? This is a 12-team era, too. Clemson was not good enough to win a playoff game last year. They went, but they were not good enough. They played a quasi-playoff game against the type of team they would have seen in a playoff game, a 12-team playoff, in 2022, and they were not good enough to beat Tennessee. They were outclassed the last two times they played that caliber of team in a postseason game. The time before that, in 2020, they lost in the playoff to Ohio State. Now, they were good enough. They just didn't play very well. They gave up 56 points. They got routed in 20. They also beat Notre Dame in the postseason in 20, which was the last time they won a game in the postseason against that caliber of team. People want to get back to that. People are not going to give Clemson 3 years to get back to not just winning the league, but like being a team that you feel like can go to a 12-team playoff and be competitive on the field with other teams that deserve to be in a 12-team playoff. That's what fans want to see. And there's work to be done on both sides of the ball on that. Offensively, the work to be done is about, in my opinion, is about primarily quarterback and scheme. That's the work that's there to be done. On defense, that work is personnel. The scheme is in place. Now you got to find the people, which is one of the reasons, you know, we talked about this earlier. It's one of the reasons why the vast majority of the players' names you're going to see are defensive players in the transfer portal on the defensive side, which we probably should be talking more about that, to be honest with you. Just the number of guys that have transferred out now and the Champ Thompson situation where Champ Thompson's in the portal till he's not. And now he either is or isn't. There's some information on both sides of that speculative ledger. But Clemson's losing more bodies on the defensive side. On offense, I think particularly with quarterback, what you can say is they've essentially got who they've got on offense. much more of a lockdown personnel situation. Do we expect an offensive lineman or two to come in? Yes. Do we expect a running back to come in based on a couple of guys leaving? Yes. But they're not going to bring in a quarterback unless a receiver leaves. They're not going to bring in a receiver. In particular, if things go well with Tristan Smith trying to get that extra year. So they for sure are going to reserve a spot for him. So I think there are different questions on both sides of the football right now. On defense, you're like, how are we going to fill out the roster? And on offense, it is, how is this scheme going to bring out the best in the players that you have? That is a here and now thing. If you didn't think the players were good enough, more would be in the portal. My opinion. It is Dabo Swinney's job, and by extension, it's Chad Morris's job, to score more points and to have a better offense next year. And, Ben, I think you agree with this, that you don't get – if Kurt Cignetti can do what he did at Indiana, nobody's going to get 2 years to just figure it out, you know?
The transfer portal shortened the runway for everybody. I mean, it just has, because, I mean, it used to be, well, you got to give somebody at least 3 years. The thought was because you're bringing freshmen in and you got to give them time to develop. I mean, that those days are gone, man.
Billy Napier tried that. Remember, he tried. He was like, I'm going to be very much about freshmen and just a little bit of portal. He didn't get enough time to realistically do that.
And when you – this is just my opinion – when you don't use every avenue to make your team better, I think it shortens even more. I just do.
I agree with that. That goes back to – go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you – and what I mean by that is if you take a portal quarterback and it doesn't work out, at least you did everything you could. But when you don't and if it doesn't work out, I think that shortens timelines. I just do.
Listen, I don't think Dabo should get fired, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But hear me when I say, when people are talking about runway and stuff, Dabo has now fired two consecutive offensive coordinators. There is a saying in athletics that is very prominent that you get to fire one coordinator and the next time it's you. That's a saying for athletic directors. You get to hire one new coach. If you have to fire a second one, your replacement gets to do that hiring.
What's the rule at South Carolina for that? One a year?
One a year.
Okay.
You get one coordinator a year as a scapegoat every time, as long as the head coach that you hired has SEC experience. In that case, he can hire and fire as many times as he wants. So Dabo's already – I mean, look, like I said, don't hear what I'm not saying here. I'm not calling for Dabo's firing or any of that. In fact, I want Dabo to be the coach forever because I think he's – I think he's the best coach in the history of the school in any sport. I think he's done a remarkable job with the football program. He's already gotten more leash than a lot of head coaches would to fire two offensive coordinators and hire a third. He fired his one defensive coordinator. In fact, he fired two, but it was like a 12-year gap between them, so I ain't worried about that. That's a long time. He is getting leash. He's getting it right now. If he hadn't put so many phenomenal deposits in the bank, his job will be on the line this year more than it is. So that's kind of my that's where I stand on it. What are your thoughts on some of the portal activity on defense? I'm a little surprised at how much portal activity is on the defense and how little on the offense, if we're being honest with you.
Well, you did have a lot more openings on that side. You've had some departures that you weren't expecting. And you also have a now seated defensive coordinator who's had a whole year to evaluate, and he made clear halfway through the season that he was going to hit the portal. So I'm really not that surprised. And then the fact that I do think there will be some offensive help coming. But, you know, what that looks like, I don't know. But, I mean, we kind of knew the defense was going to get rebuilt through the portal, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tom Allen essentially said, and I'm gonna be much nicer than Tom Allen, basically, all y'all suck. We're going to get new people in here.
You got short arms and you're not very fast. Besides that, you're nice guys.
Now, one of the things that is different this time is that guys who would have been starters are in the portal for the first time in a while. Like, mm-hmm. I have heard a rationale that says that Andrew Mukuba, the plan was for Andrew Mukuba, I heard this from a very reliable source, that the plan was for Mukuba to go to the NFL. And that Mukuba didn't get the draft grade he wanted. And he has a kid back in Texas. And so, like, there were other reasons besides what we've all talked about, which is the lack of development that he felt like he was getting at Clemson. There were several reasons why he would have gone to Texas. But the plan already was for there to be somebody besides Mukuba at safety next year at Clemson. So that wasn't that big of a, like, disruptive thing. For sure, Clemson's defensive plan, I think even Tom Allen's defensive plan included Khalil Barnes and Stephylin Green. I think even like a Tom Allen that's totally out on his defensive personnel is probably wanting the services of Khalil Barnes and Stephylin Green next year.
I was going to say Ricardo Jones, but I'm not positive about him actually.
Let me give you my thoughts on Jones, okay? I'm going to tell you a story that I actually told Faxon over the weekend. This happened several years ago at ACC kickoff, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, and I'm not going to tell you the player, okay? You might remember, because it may have come up on air, but I don't want to besmirch the guy, okay? There was a media member that was actively campaigning with other people to not vote for a certain defensive player for all conference, because he said, this guy is the worst at his position in the league. He just has really good counting stats. He said, this guy, he looked me dead in the face and said, Kwok, you promised me that you're not going to vote this guy on your all-ACC team preseason because his numbers way outpace what kind of player this guy is. He's the worst at his position in the league. I don't think that's Ricardo Jones, but it is interesting when you look at Ricardo Jones. He is the perfect example to me of a guy that can make more money in the portal from somebody than he could at Clemson. Because, not to say that other teams aren't doing their homework, but leads the ACC in interceptions is quite a stat. That is quite something. And in fact, with a defense that's a little better put together, that can play. Because you know what Clemson fans think about Ricardo Jones? Out of position, bad angles, miss a lot of tackles, totally AWOL in some games, part of a secondary that's the worst in 25 years at Clemson. That's what Clemson's fans think of Ricardo Jones. I think if the other safety spot, to your point about Jones, if the other safety spot were more secure, if you had a Jadar Johnson, RJ Mickens, Michael Hamlin, a knows-where-to-be guy, as your other safety, then a guy like Ricardo Jones is playable. But when neither safety is reliable, then you can't afford for one guy to be just a ball hawk, just out there trying to get picks and tips and that kind of stuff. That, to me, is the issue with Jones. That he's a guy that likely would command more on the open market because Clemson's people are more familiar with all of the reps, as opposed to looking at that stat sheet going, maybe we'll take a chance on this guy with the 6 picks. You buying what I'm selling there?
I do. That makes sense.
All right, let's take a break when we come back. Final segment of the program. We'll bat around some ideas and some different topics, some interesting portal activity, even today when we return after this.
You know, it's not your fault that losing weight is getting harder and harder to do. You're eating better. You're making the right choices. You're moving more. But your body just isn't responding the way that it used to. It's not your willpower. It's a metabolism. For many people, years of dieting quietly slow the metabolic system down, so the more work you put in, the less progress you see. At PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and fix the root cause, not just count calories. I know because they helped me lose over 50 pounds on the program. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating the way that you want it to, call the professionals at PhD Weight Loss right now and mention Fix My Weight Loss, and they'll unlock the New Year special for you. It's free, it's personalized, and it could explain everything that has been puzzling you in your weight loss journey. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900 or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
The holidays are the perfect time of year to get creative in your kitchen and gather around when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of great ingredients that you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend get-together, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling to see family, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on gas before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. For family feasts, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. And don't forget the convenience of curbside pickup at your local Ingles Market. You'll find everything you and your family need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
When downtime isn't an option, you need a team that knows motors inside and out.
Doug Powell and his team at IMS are knowledgeable, dependable, fast, and always willing to work around our needs. Doug's just a phone call away and always ready with valuable advice.
From repairs to replacements, Industrial Motor Service keeps your operation moving with trusted expertise and responsive service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com today. Industrial Motor Service, keep your power in motion.
This isn't background noise. This is sports radio with teeth.
These guys are serious.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Sing my share of broken halos, folding wings that used to fly. They've all gone.
Final segment of the program. Thanks for joining us. Texture from the 864 says this: I was iffy on Khalil lately, but seeing him post on Instagram with the location being Athens, Georgia, just felt like watching your ex go downtown Clemson a week after your breakup. Strange way to feel about a 20-year-old young man. It does. This will be the second time that somebody had gone to a program with a larger stature than Clemson. At the safety room, as a matter of fact. In the safety room. And I don't know if Khalil Barnes will have success at Georgia. I do know that if Georgia wants that guy, that I don't really blame him for going and getting that. I don't know what they paid him. I got no idea, but he's going to be well-coached. He's going to be in a good defense. He's got a chance to play for a national title next year, probably. I don't begrudge him that at all, frankly. But it is true that he would have started at Clemson next year. And Sephalen Green would have started. And to your point, Ben, Ricardo Jones may well have started as well, although Clemson's got a bunch of safeties they're looking at. Mm-hmm. Would have probably been an open competition there. We talked a little bit about basketball, but a question asked from the 864. Texter said, actually, this is not a question. Thoughts on Pitt hoops? They suck.
Oh, your thoughts.
I thought it was going to be a question, but then I read it again. I thought, nope, this is really more of a statement.
I was on for an hour with Faxon this morning. I would agree with the Texter, actually. Pitt is not a very well-coached team. They never have been. And not going to be under Capel. They're just not. And a lot of, I guess because they're both, because of close proximity here, I still think, people also kind of asking about Syracuse. I don't think those two programs are remotely the same. Syracuse has a good they at least have a good starting five. Adrian Autry's in a tough spot there. They're trying to kind of figure things out, but I kind of like him. I mean, I see some glimpses from Autry and Syracuse. Pitt, on the other hand, they're just not a good team. I mean, that was a classic Pitt game where they look good for a while and they die at the end. If you watch them play Miami, the same thing happened. I mean, they dominated Miami for 30 minutes of the game and then kind of choked it away. That's just sort of who they are.
But isn't that a feature of a program that resembles the Mike Krzyzewski Duke program? Like,
a little bit.
Think about Duke. How many times Krzyzewski like blew a lead? Because you stand out there for 20 seconds holding the ball, you get a high ball screen, maybe you're setting up a three shooter somewhere, and that's your whole offense. To me, what struck me about Pitt is I thought their early actions offensively were quite good, and then like they would just stop.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's the takeaway from that game. Don't hear what I'm saying here on the Clemson program. The Clemson coaches knew the identity of Pitt basketball, and the players stuck with the plan even when it didn't go well at times. Even when Lee Cassell turned into Lee Cassell and did stupid things with the whistle.
I think he's getting Botox, by the way. His face is way more rigid. He looks like an anime character right now. Go look at him.
Yeah,
the eyebrows
never move. Like, he looks surprised all the time.
He does. he has smelled a fart eyebrow.
No, but really, it's just like there was a calmness about Clemson that if we just stick to what we're doing, we're going to win this game. And Pitt made a run there in the second half, and then, you know, Clemson turned it up on defense. The full court pressure for about four possessions there where Britt was brilliant. Pitt had no answer for that. And then you just have a bunch of unselfish guys that like Hunter Dillon just keeps, he doesn't care if he's a big time scorer. In the Syracuse game, you needed a couple big threes from him and you got him. In this game, you really didn't. And he just was locked down. He was a locked down defender.
Can I tell
you? And he's defending 1 through 3, and it does not matter. If you need me to defend their three, I can do it. And I can stay in front of him. And if you need me to defend the one, I can do it. And I can stay in front of him. And I said he doesn't look like a fast twitch guy, but yet defensively he plays that way.
My biggest observation the second half of that game was, and I told my wife, I was like, I wanted to tweet this, but I didn't know how to make it sound right, like it sounded in my brain. Dillon Hunter's defensive rotations were like watching, it was like perfection. It was a beautiful, like if you just watch him, the number of times that he basically killed a Pitt possession because they thought they had out-leveraged him specifically, yes, splitting a gap, but he's baiting you into the pass to the shooter that he is contesting, and Pitt has no alternative action. That's what I'm talking about. Pitt's action to get people open is good. And then when they think they have the action, after that point, if they don't have the shot, it's like, well.
And he is contesting without fouling.
Yes.
At the rim.
It was beautiful. There were times where he would step and sort of play in between, almost like guarding 1.5 people, where he's cutting off a drive, but he's cutting it off knowing I'm going to have to get back out to the shooter in the corner. And before the pass is even thrown, he's out there. And Pitt thinks they got a shot, and they never do. And it is one of the most unsung things, because I think he makes everybody's job easier on the defensive end. I agree 100% on Dillon.
Every team has weaknesses, well, except for a couple this year. Michigan, Arizona, Purdue. Yeah.
I watched Michigan the other day.
Everybody else, though. Oh, I mean, everybody has weaknesses. Clemson does not have that assassin on offense at the end of the game. And, you know, that's – you've already lost one – really maybe a couple because of that, likely be more. but you're so good in many other areas. I mean, and Nick Davidson, you brought him to Clemson as a starter, and he is excelling as a sixth man. And he doesn't look like he has a problem with that because he's coming in and playing hard. What, he had 14 in this game?
14.
Off the bench. And they were
diving
they were,
on the floor.
They were big buckets, too. They were just as important as everybody else's buckets.
Yeah, I thought Davidson played really well. I thought Welling played better than his stat line in this game. Like, he's had some duds in the month of December, but I thought he really played well in this game. He had 8 points and 10 rebounds and fouled out. And he had two blocks. He attacked the rim twice on times he got fouled trying to dunk the ball. But he's making Pitt defend. The one time I thought the kid blocked it. But there's no you're going to get that call 100 times out of 100. Mm-hmm. The other time he almost yammed on a dude's face, and the guy was right to foul him. But I thought Clemson's bigs played really well. What was the pain points in this game? I swear, I had it pulled up. 30-28. Seemed like Clemson had, probably because they score more back to the basket. They score more at their back to the basket against Pitt, and that's where they got the biggest shots of the game, I thought. The other thing that I loved about the second half, Butta Johnson makes three threes. His three in a tie, was it a three-point, 56-53, I think? And he makes the three with like 6 minutes left. And after that, Clemson just got the ball rolling downhill. It was a huge play. The other thing that I noticed, and it's a, I think we talked about it Friday about the Syracuse game. It was yet another time that every single timeout, Brad Brynell is just pantsing the other coach. I mean, just totally pantsing the coach out of. If Clemson has the ball out of a timeout, they're getting a bucket. It is like automatic. They're going to get a shot and a bucket. There was one play where it wasn't even that. It wasn't even that elaborate of an action, but it was just like they ran Justin Porter around the world, and he got a pin-down screen and hit a three from the wing, and I thought that wasn't even that complicated a play, but they're going to get the shot out of the timeout because that's what they do.
Lake Murray Michael said, was the hang on the rim technical a good call? That's not – it wasn't that he was hanging on the rim. That was, again, the defender was Corin, and number two for – Pitt on the other end of the floor. He had just dunked it and was real emotional and sort of in your face. And then Godfrey dunks it basically over him. And as he is dunking, he turns and says something to him. It was whatever it was he said is what got the technical. It was a taunting technical. Should not have, you got to let that go. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Especially when it had just happened on the other end. But, yeah, it wasn't. They don't call hanging on the rim anymore.
The issue with RJ, because I did think it was a hang on the rim at first. Because I've seen RJ hang, but Pitt's guy also hung on the rim at one point. Like, for a while. Like, swung a couple times. He did not try to hide it very well. Like, you see his head fully. He's like an owl. You saw his head, like, fully turn.
And the baseline official was standing right there beside him. It was like.
Yes. That is what it is. Did anything else catch your attention in college basketball this weekend? Did you watch anything interesting in the world of college basketball?
Well, that SMU North Carolina. Louisville loses to which one did they lose to?
Stanford.
Yeah.
At Stanford.
Stanford, who had just been held to 40 points by Notre Dame, turned around and beats Louisville. I thought Louisville early on this season was like top 10 worthy. They've kind of come back down to earth a little bit, have they not?
One of the things that's happened to Louisville is that Michael Brown is out.
Right.
And that certainly has hurt them. And that you could tell they're missing that differential playmaker. And particularly against Stanford, where like Stanford's got a couple dudes. And you want to talk about a team that's well coached? Kyle Smith can coach. You know what? I watched a little bit of the Cal-Notre Dame. That was late, the Cal-Notre Dame game. A lot of people watched the end. I like what Mark Madsen's doing at Cal. A lot of those players, like Stojakovic, we know the Stojakovic team from a couple years ago, but a lot of those players return. I think Stanford and Cal are both better. Even without Raynaud, who's playing minutes in the NBA right now, I think Stanford may be a better basketball team on both ends than they were a year ago.
I tell you, the other team, another team that's really caught my eye, Quack, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech beats Virginia in triple overtime, down three starters. Virginia is a good, this is not a typo, they're a good offensive team now. They beat them by, you know, now, and then, but then I honestly thought Wake Forest was gonna run them out of the gym Saturday. And that, I mean, really, Virginia Tech should have won that one. But I think that three overtime game and a short bench came back to haunt them in the end of that one.
Their legs at the end, it was back and forth at the end, and you could tell Wake just had a couple more plays in their legs. Don't say I didn't worry about Virginia Tech. I still think Virginia Tech is going to make a run at a tournament bid. I think they are like that last team. They're going to be the bubble in, bubble out in the ACC.
Yeah. Texter brings up Micah Shrewsbury, the head coach at Notre Dame. Ooh. I was really surprised he didn't get suspended. He went after the – had to be restrained from the official. He just got the strongly worded slap on the wrist. I don't know if he's right on that call or not. There's, you know, the continuation that we've added to college basketball. I mean, officials already didn't know what traveling was, and now you've added this. I don't know, but I would say if there's that much question, then you don't call that in a crucial point of the game like that with, 5 seconds to go or whatever.
I think the ACC, by not suspending Micah Shrewsbury, admitted that he was actually right.
You're probably right. At first I thought he was wrong. Looked at it again. I've heard some experts talk about that. He's at least got an argument.
You can't do that. I mean, you can't sprint after a ref like that.
If you don't know what we're talking about, it was a 4-point play at the end of the Cal game, right?
Late Friday night. Yeah, it was like 1 a.m. Yeah.
Cal and Stanford to me, same team.
Look, and Mark Madsen, former Stanford great, is the coach at Cal. So that, like, I have to convince myself all the time, like, Mark Madsen is the coach at Cal. He's not at Stanford. That's Kyle Smith. The thing that bothered me about the Notre Dame call is that the attempted foul wasn't a foul, and it was the third attempted foul. So, like, if you're a ref that's, like, trying to anticipate an attempted foul, he tried to foul Day-Day twice. And it didn't, like, while he's dribbling, and so he tries to do it a third time before he gathers to shoot, and he basically backs off when he realizes he's going to shoot, and they call the foul then. I thought that was all right, because there's no way he's going to try to foul a guy in the act of shooting in that instance, and he's already tried to foul and just missed. That was difficult.
I would say league-wide right now, there's more surprise teams than disappointing teams to me.
Agreed. Pitt, I think, I'm not sure Pitt was going to be great, but Pitt under 500? Probably pretty disappointing.
We knew Boston College was going to be terrible. Florida State looked better early on. Apparently not.
I think, I mean, early going, Miami thought they'd be better. I think I'm just pretty good. SMU's top 25 in the net. Folks, that will be a quad one win for Clemson on Wednesday night at home against SMU. That's how big this game is. It's huge. Clemson's only got one of those so far this year. That's it for us today. We're going to talk more.